Yes, Mr. Cook. Yes, I apologize. I only have a moment until I go on the air, but oh, yes, I know how much you dislike liberal media, so I will. I'll do my very best to make my radio show as conservative and right-wing as possible. Oh, yes, $500 million. Oh, that certainly would go a long way toward purchasing airtime on radio stations to broadcast Go Vegan with Bob Linden. That's almost as much as Wayne Pacelli's salary, the CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. And, well, I'd certainly do a lot more for the animals with the money. Oh, no, I didn't say anything. Sorry, I just said that, yes, that's serious money. I can certainly use it. And I can tell people to read their Bibles and see that God said that you should be vegan. You have your Bible with you there, Mr. Koch? Yes, Genesis book 1, verse 29. And God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree with fruit that has seed in it. They will be your food. Okay, is that conservative enough for you, Mr. Koch? You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. What do you mean? Healthcare too? Okay, all right. You're right. Yeah, it's very socialist, that Obamacare. Right. Who needs healthcare anyway? I'll just, endorse repealing his plan and tell people to go vegan instead and reverse heart disease and avoid cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity. Sure, it'll save trillions in government spending, I'm sure. Yes, and Mr. Koch, I know, how you want to extend your tax breaks permanently. Well, if you dump the subsidies on meat and dairy, you don't have to thank me, Mr. Koch. Just send the money, send the check, and yes, I wish I could be on Fox too, but don't you think it's better to infiltrate the liberal media? So just send the money, and I'm set to go on progressive talk radio stations. Yeah, including in Portland, KPOJ, AM 620. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Koch. I see the on-air light is on. I didn't realize for how long. I gotta go. Talk to you later. Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, karub, guten tag, jiao, weevi, vakat, bang, jai, janendra, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, kilitary industrial core poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy, security state of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of animal body parts. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the first vegan animal rights program in mass media, commemorating 10 years of broadcasting, also the first major network vegan program having aired for about a year on Air America, and apparently I was the only one who actually paid Air America, so now it is the painful self-syndication on progressive talk stations, including Green 960 in San Francisco, and today our debut at 9 a.m. on Sundays on Progressive Talk KPOJ AM 620 in the Portland, Vancouver area, a community recognized as a vegan mecca, which we will discuss with Peter Spendelow of Northwest Veg on today's program. It is also Black History Month, and we'll be talking to Milton Mills, MD. Community health for people of color is in critical condition. Does it have to be that way? And are there health secrets in traditional African dietary custom? And the racial bias of U.S. dietary guidelines coming up on today's program. And, does our disgraceful group of Supreme Court jesters have a role in this one, too? Sometimes on the scale of most depressed, you wonder if it's the school children who will get sick because they're forced to eat dead animals, or is it the dead animals on their plates? Well, the whole world seems to be marching against oppression. Everybody is saying, hey, we've been so exploited. You've forgotten us. We deserve our liberation. Well, since this is a worldwide movement of workers of the world unite, could we possibly say species of the world unite? I mean, who are the most oppressed, the most exploited, the most forgotten? The animals deserve liberation too, don't they? The poor, innocent, so oppressed that all of them, 100% of them, are all imprisoned, tortured, and killed in the process of becoming food or clothing or the subject of some cruel experiment. No one gets out alive, no mink on a fur farm, no cage-free chicken, no monkey at UCSF. So when are the animals going to be represented in our March for Worldwide Liberation? That march, would not be in leather boots, by the way, and we all should be marching together. We'll never be liberated until we are all liberated. So maybe we should form that more perfect union, huh? I can see it now. The ALF-CIO. Can you see it with me? Can you join it with me? The ALF-CIO. When you think of a hero in the workers' movement, you immediately think of Cesar Chavez. He was a vegan animal rights activist also. Yes, Cesar Chavez, totally vegan, true vegetarian, no animal products, no dairy, no honey. And those close to him said that he took as much pride converting someone to go vegan as he did bringing someone into the trade union. And also, who was that we saw this past week on the Terror Vision set as the most dynamic speaker on behalf of the demonstrators? Well, yes, it was Dennis Kucinich, the only vegan in Congress and the only one for whom I am voting for president ever again from now on. I'm writing him in every time I vote from now on. I'm just hoping the way that things shake out from the, the rebellions in the Middle East and the Midwest. In the Middle East, we do need a whole new philosophy there, huh? Eat falafel, not meat, and no wars will be needed over food or water. I mean, an acre of land can feed a lot of people on garbanzo beans, but not so many on animal carcass. No meat is kosher. In the Midwest, look at what that state's chief cheesehead is trying to do. I mean, with impaired blood flow to the brain because of animal fat. He was even considering planting troublemakers in the crowd. I mean, if that's the thinking of the chief cheesehead, well, it's time to say vegan cheese, even in the state of Wisconsin. And if workers and unions and the state need to cut costs like healthcare costs, well, maybe vegan recipe sharing would be the most cost effective. And please, people around the world ordering pizza for the protesters, order the no cheese pizza. You know, that pizza place needs to learn about vegan cheeses from, well, Follow Your Heart. There's Vegan Gourmet Cheese Alternative or Diet Cheese. There's a really good rice cheese too from Galaxy Foods. And Tofurky now has a vegan pizza, and Amy's no cheese pizza is pretty good. So please, for the health of the protesters, no more cheese pizzas. And for the health and lives of the baby cows and their mothers, no more cheese anything. Please, go vegan. Isn't that really taking the step against oppression, going vegan? After all, meat and dairy cause the oppression of, the oppression of other animals leads to all that oppresses us, right? War, violence, poverty, hunger, disease, climate change, deforestation, habitat destruction, species extinction, animal suffering. You are invited to march against all that oppression by going vegan. And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please help us purchase radio airtime so that we can bring a voice for compassion for animals and improved human health and environmental sustainability to mainstream airwaves. Free speech is expensive. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Can make a tax-deductible donation payable to Go Vegan Radio. Send it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, visit goveganradio.org. VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only. VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN. Vegan owned and operated. VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com.
What do Paul McCartney, the Skinny Bitch Ultimate Everyday Cookbook, and a box of gourmet chocolates have in common? You can find all three at PETA.org. Check out the latest buzz about your favorite animal-friendly celebrities, discover fun and fabulous gifts for the entire family, and find out ways to help all of our furry, feathered, and finned friends. PETA.org has something for every animal lover. Get active, get informed, and maybe even get yourself a gift at PETA.org today.
Well, if you're listening to this program in Portland on KPOJ 620 AM, just waking up now in the 9 a.m. hour on Sunday. No, you're not dreaming. This is actually real. Animal liberation, media infiltration. You're not dreaming up some Al Jazeera for the animals. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we will be here every week as long as we can afford to pay for the airtime. And you can help with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.org. You'll find about 400 programs archived there, as this show is now commemorating its 10th anniversary as it commemorates its first week on KPOJ in Portland. You can also support the show with a tax-deductible donation by check made payable to Go Vegan Radio. You mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And we are so excited to be back on in Portland. Maybe you used to listen to the program when it was on Air America for a year, but Portland is a vegan mecca, and the whole world looks to Portland now as really a progressive center as a result. And today I would like to discuss this with Peter Spendelow, who, by day is a mild-mannered engineer for the State Department of Environmental Quality, but after hours, a superhero working with Northwest Veg on all things vegan. How are you, Peter? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good. Well, thanks for being with us here today. So tell us what's going on in the world of veganism and Northwest Veg, what you've been up to, what's happening, what has happened, what's coming up in the future.
Well, it seems like things get more and more busy all the time with a lot of different events going on. We just finished I don't know if you know the movie Forks Over Knives. It was doing its sort of trial run here in Portland, see how well it could play. So it has been playing across the country on individual days with special screenings, but they wanted to see how well it would do if they just put it out there like a regular movie where people go to the theater and buy tickets and go in. So they picked Portland. They picked January 7th for the opening date. They're going to run it for 1 week to see how well it did. And we saw that movie. We thought it was a really good one. So we just went out there and tried to promote the heck out of it. And between us and them and everybody else working on it, it was really pretty successful. We had actually 10 sellout screenings of that movie in that first week.
Ten sellouts? That sounds like a blockbuster.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the producer was just really ecstatic at how well it did. And, again, it was supposed to only be up there for a week. We ended up going 5 weeks. So it was, just kept on getting renewed and renewed. People kept on coming back to it and bringing their friends. You know, it's like they'd see it, they'd be blown away by it, and they'd go back out there and they'd drag other people back into the theater with them to see it with them. So it went really
What do you
well.
Think was blowing them away? What were they saying was most shocking or astonishing to them about it?
Well, the thing is that the movie was actually, in one sense, a very mild movie. It didn't go out there preaching. It didn't go out there really with a hard message. It just tried to take two of the scientists who are really time people working on this, T. Colin Campbell and Caldwell Esselstyn, the work that they've done over the years on, Campbell as a emeritus professor now at Cornell in nutrition, and Esselstyn as a surgeon who, works on cancer and heart issues, has the book out there on reversing heart disease, taking people, in the case of Esselstyn, putting them on plant-based diets and seeing how that really improves their health. And they followed a couple of individuals, from, who had problems with, heart attacks or high blood pressure or diabetes, taking loads and loads of drugs to try and combat these things, and just, trying to get them off these drugs, trying to get them to just switch their diet. So it was just people could see these things, see how these people reacted, see how they really improved, and it was just, I think it was the mildness of the message actually that made it really strong, because it was not an overstated thing. It wasn't that you were hammering people over the head with it. It was just, people who otherwise really wouldn't consider this, they could see the results for themselves just listening to the movie.
That's great. Not that there's anything wrong with hammering over them over the head with it, although, I guess I do that. But it's a Nerf hammer. I only use a Nerf hammer, so when we bring that up. And people can go to the archives at goveganradio.org to hear interviews with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn and T. Colin Campbell. Yeah, so, and that led to 10 sellouts, now there's a standing room only at your potlucks. So what's happened there?
we really picked up a lot of interest because it was really nice that the theater allowed us to table through that whole 5 weeks. So we had a table up there, and every time people would come out of the theater, they'd just be, really excited about it. They'd come over and they'd pick up loads and loads of literature. And then we tried to tailor some of our potlucks to be sort of like follow-up. So we had a local doctor, Dr. Richard Heitch from the Integrated Medicine Group, giving a talk on diet and health, particularly concentrating on the protein issue and, why we really don't need anywhere near the amount of protein that a lot of people, including some doctors, think that we do. And we had a cooking demonstration up in Vancouver where we had Wendy Gaby Day presenting, how to make nice low-fat whole food meals, plant-based meals that, because these people, some of them are coming out, they really hadn't really considered vegetarian diets before, or vegan diets, and they're now saying, gee, what do I do? What do I put in the middle of my plate? And so we just figured we'd try to do some follow-up there. And, boy, it's just been packed with our, the last two potlucks we had in Portland, we just completely filled the rooms. It's been really amazing.
Great, great. So, and what if people do want to get involved with your potlucks? What do they do?
Well, we actually have two potlucks going on monthly. We have one potluck in Portland, which is the third Sunday each month. I mean, you can go to our website, www.nweg.org, and see the calendar, see what events we have coming up. So we do one potluck in Portland on the third Sunday each month. We do another potluck in Vancouver, usually the fourth Thursday of the month, so that's a weekday evening. And we always have a speaker or, a cooking demo or, maybe just a get-together and talk, for people to talk over an issue sometimes after that. But we usually try to make it something really interesting. For instance, last week when we had Grant Butler, who's the writer, feature writer for The Oregonian, who back a year ago decided sort of like as a journalistic stunt to go vegan for a month, and he picked February, because it's the shortest month, as a sort of stunt. And he went through the month, and he found how exciting it was seeing all the different foods that he hadn't even considered before, and he just decided to stick with it and keep on writing about it. So people were just really excited to hear that, because it's now been a year. So he gave us sort of like the after 1 year, how it's been. So we just packed that room for him.
Ah, okay. And what did it, and a little of what he said, like how has it been after a year of that? He didn't expect it to happen. He thought it would be a month, and the shortest month is that.
Yeah, well, and he was, one of the things that was really nice was it was so affirming, because you know, he has not gotten a whole lot of negative comments. And he gave his personal story with, you know, growing up back in Kansas City, you know, which is the middle of the meat market out there. And, you know, the sort of foods that he was fed, you know, that his mother fed him as a kid. And going back there, you know, he just went back there for Christmas, and he was kind of, you know, worried about it. You know, what's the family going to think? But, you know, his mother went out there and got some vegan cookbooks and made stuff for him, and, you know, did various family members. One of them was, you know, his family isn't vegan at all, but one of them, you know, is doing Meatless Mondays. And so, you know, this was, they had all sorts of ideas. And, you know, he's a food person. He's a, you know, he writes on food issues. So this was just really exciting for him to see this sort of support from people.
And he can keep his job?
Yeah. That's the other thing, which was really surprising to him. He really didn't believe that the Oregonian would want him to be writing about these issues afterwards, you know, but they did, you know, and so he's got a regular column that he does, you know, a couple times a month, writing about, you know.
Maybe that's why there are so many vegan restaurants around Portland. I mean, the food writer is vegan, so you know you're going to get a review eventually, right? So.
Yeah, and that's one, you know. You're talking about what's happened here, you know, how that's changed over the years. You know, I was just counting up in our dining guide here, and, you know, we have 9 vegan restaurants in Portland now, and we have another 11 that are vegetarian restaurants, and many of those vegetarian restaurants are really darn close to being vegan. It's like, that, you know, maybe they'll serve milk to somebody, or, you know, cream to somebody who wants cream in their coffee, but, you know, I'm thinking of one that's pretty much all the only foray they make into animal products. Is just really minor sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And do you have some favorite hangouts yourself, vegan hangouts?
Oh, yeah. I kind of like Vegetarian House downtown. It's, you know, where the Asian, it's heavy in mock meats and so on, but it's something I like a lot. And there's also another one, Sweet Lemon, up in the Bethany area. It's different menu, but it's also really good, and Green Walk. So we got sort of three Asian restaurants that are nice ones I like.
Great, that's excellent. Oh, and Sweet Lemon is kind enough to start off being a sponsor of the show. And when you hear the commercials for Sweet Lemon, that's a sign for you to go eat there and show support, because they're helping us to pay for the airtime, as this is grassroots activism in getting on the airwaves so that we can get some of the most. These are the most important messages. I mean, you work with the Department of Environmental Quality, so you must recognize the importance of being vegan and the threats represented by meat and dairy to the environment.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. You know, my work at DEQ actually is dealing with solid waste issues, solid waste and recycling policy, things like bottle bill, things like, you know, paper versus plastic, things like how to get curbside recycling programs going and how well they're doing, and measuring literally what's in the garbage. You know, we do those sorts of work. But I've taken that sort of, you know, the sort of knowledge I've had there and start applying it to other things, you know, looking at the whole issue of greenhouse gas impacts of food, you know, and the impacts of food on the way we use land, and, you know, the pollution in the water, pollution in the air, and those sorts of things. So, you know, I've got a talk I put together that compares that, you know, looks at the sort of things that people are talking about with food, like, you know, eating local or eating seasonal or eating organic. And every time you do any sort of analysis, it really comes out pretty strongly. Eating low on the food chain, even plant-based, is so much more important than all these other things. I mean, the other things are important, but, you know, we're not talking order of magnitude important like it is when you're talking about eating low on the food chain.
Yeah, meat and dairy are blamed for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, and, you know, add on everything, deforestation, desertification, soil erosion, you know, resource depletion. It's all crazy. We have maybe a couple of minutes left, and I know you have some big calendar events throughout the year, and we're talking to Peter Spendolo and of Northwest Veg, so you can go to the Northwest Veg website. That's nwveg.org, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. And what can people look forward to on the calendar?
Well, the big thing we do every year is our Veg Fest. We've expanded that from being a little thing in the basement of a church now to where it's 2 days at the Oregon Convention Center. It's going to be September 17th and 18th. And we really concentrated that, not only in having, you know, all the vendors there with all the neat foods and so on, you know, restaurants and, you know, these different food vendors and product vendors, but we really concentrated on speakers, too. So, you know, we've had some great speakers over the year. You know, 1 year we had, you know, mentioning Forks Over Knives again, we had Caldwell Esselstyn and T. Colin Campbell back in 2007, along with John Robbins, so all three of them at our Veg Fest a few years ago. And it's kept on getting bigger and bigger to the point where, you know, getting close to 5,000 people attending this last year.
That's great. Really, truly great. So we have maybe half a minute left, Peter. So was there anything else you wanted to cover while we had the time today? And I'll invite you back on in the future as we explore what's happening around Portland and Vancouver.
Well, I mean, I hope people come to our website and look at the sort of things we do. We have classes. We have a Veg 101 class. We have a Master Vegetarian program. You know, we have all sorts of different events. We have a book club. We have a veganic gardening group. You know, we do tabling. We have a newsletter. We have a good website with interesting stuff, you know, especially the upcoming events out there. So I hope people will come there. And if they're interested, I hope they'll support us. I hope they'll join us as a member. And, you know, because that's how we are able to do these things. We're pretty much all volunteer. We have, you know, one part-time person with a volunteer coordinator. But
Thanks, Peter. We're just about out of time. Again, it's Northwest Veg, NWVEG.org.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
Looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly three decades experience in Bay Area real estate? Meet Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a vegan for almost as long as I've been a real estate broker. I got my license in 1983, and I've been a vegan for about 20 years, which is the best decision I ever made for myself and my family. It has done wonders improving my health. And now I'm proud to say I have three healthy vegan grandchildren.
Judith, in your profession as a realtor, you actually practice what you teach.
There are some great opportunities for people, and my motto is selling dreams, not just houses. So I love to work with people, but these are challenging economic times for others who are vulnerable to disreputable people with scams and schemes. I just want everyone to know I'm here to help.
Call Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. That's 888-258-6854. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soups, salad sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
This is Go Big Your Fall Blazing.
We continue now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, hitting our 10th anniversary broadcasting. But you might be hearing the show for the first time today as we debut in Portland on KPOJ AM 620, although you may have heard this program when we were on Air America for a year, when there was an Air America. And we do have to purchase the airtime. We're happy to support the local progressive talk affiliate, KPOJ. You can help us do that with a tax-deductible donation. Donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Well, Milton Mills, MD, practices outpatient and critical care medicine in Northern Virginia, and he's been involved with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, associate director on preventive medicine, and concentrating on issues of community health for people of color. Dr. Mills is a graduate of the Stanford University School of Medicine, and Oakland was his original home as a child. Well, last year for Black History Month, and it is now currently Black History Month, I produced a show that took place at the Herb's Theater in San Francisco called Soul Food for Thought. John Sally and Tracy Bingham co-hosted it as, it was really one of the most entertaining, yet I think most important productions ever, not just because I produced it, but there was much to reveal and particular interest. Well, maybe you could go to the website. It's for the International Fund for Africa. It's ifundafrica.org, and you probably find some video there from Soul Food for Thought and the dramatic presentation from Dr. Antenna Roba. And the other most important conversation that evening was Dr. Milton Mills taking on the subject of the current, it's in critical condition, community health of people of color. And, can we find solutions? Maybe we have to look all the way back to ancient African dietary health secrets. So welcome once again to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Dr. Mills, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Good. I'm doing very good, Bob. Thank you.
Great to have you back again. We always cover so
good
many
to be
subjects.
Back.
But you know, if you look at the statistics and the condition of community people of color, what are you seeing now? It is in critical condition, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Within the various communities of color throughout the nation, what we see is that the prevalence of chronic diseases are higher in all communities of color, particularly African American, Latino, and Native American communities. Moreover, once these diseases are manifest, they exert a more devastating toll on people of color because they tend to progress more rapidly and lead to premature death to a much greater extent than they do in larger population as a whole. So in general, our communities are not doing very well eating the standard American diet. And again, this is evidenced by the epidemic rates of obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and so on and so forth.
And those figures do run higher in communities of color.
The nation as a whole is not doing great, but communities of color are definitely doing worse. The diseases are more prevalent, and they're much more devastating. For instance, if you take diabetes, which estimates are that an African-American man is 7 times more likely, an African-American woman is 10 times more likely to develop diabetes in terms of her lifetime than a Caucasian American, and the figures for Hispanic Americans are that 1 out of every 2 Hispanics born after the year 2000 is going to develop diabetes in his or her lifetime. Well, when you actually look at, that in and of itself is absolutely frightening, but when you look at what happens once these diseases, are manifest, you find that African Americans with diabetes are over 100 times more likely to end up with retinal damage leading to blindness or kidney damage leading to kidney failure and dialysis than Caucasian Americans, and they're over 250 times more likely to end up with the circulatory problems that ultimately result in limb amputations. So again, these diseases are much, much, much more devastating in communities of color. And I wish I had reliable statistics to give you on Hispanics, but I don't. And part of the reason is that because there are, large numbers of undocumented Hispanics in this country, they're often either they don't have access to good medical care, so we don't have reliable statistics, or they're unwilling to present themselves for medical care, again, for fear that, you know, they will be turned into INS and deported. So, again, the figures that we have for Hispanic Americans are, I think, grossly underreported, but in general, the disease exerts a very devastating toll within that community as well.
So are people meant to be this unhealthy? What's causing
it? Well, I mean, absolutely not. I mean, these diseases are entirely preventable if we had a healthier and more natural diet. The primary cause of diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, and to a large extent overweight and obesity in these communities has to do with the way that we eat and live, principally eating a very calorie-dense, high-fat, animal food diet, and also, you know, coupling that with a sedentary lifestyle, which is, you know, kind of the one-two knockout punch. If people converted to a more healthy and I would argue more natural and historically more appropriate plant-based diet, the prevalence of these diseases would drop dramatically. Equally importantly, even if someone is currently suffering with these diseases, study after study has shown that if they convert to a vegetarian or vegan diet, the severity of this disease drops, speaking of diabetes in particular, and in many cases it can be cured if people, particularly if they go vegan. So no, these things are not inevitable. Even if you have family members who are suffering from this disease, that doesn't mean that you are, you know, bound to get it. It simply means that you are susceptible to it, but that if you don't have the lifestyle and diet that promotes the development of the disease, you're unlikely to get it, or if you change your diet and lifestyle, you can actually cure this disease.
Well, so often people say, well, I can't help it. It's in my genes, but maybe it's that everybody in the family was eating the same food. You know,
well,
absolutely. Not in the genes, it's on the plate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That, you know, if everybody's eating the same poison, well, yeah, everybody's going to get the same problem. But, you know, the example I often use is that the fact that we as humans have lungs means that we are all genetically susceptible to drowning, but that's only if we get into water over our heads. You know, if you stay out of a high-risk environment, you're unlikely to drown. Likewise, if you don't have a diet that promotes the insulin resistance and weight gain that leads to type 2 diabetes, you're highly unlikely to develop the disease. Furthermore, studies have also shown that type 1 diabetes, which is the type of diabetes that's typically associated with children, is also, to some extent, related to early exposure to animal foods in the diet, particularly cow's milk.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let us look historically then. If we go back, ancient dietary secrets of Africa, let's go back many generations. What actually was eaten, and where did things go wrong? How did the shift change if there was healthy eating in the past?
Well, the traditional, most of the African Americans and blacks in the New World, that is the Caribbean, United States, and South America, originated from West Africa, which was because of the slave trade. The ships pulled up to the west coast of Africa and snatched whatever they could get their hands on. And when you look at traditional West African diets, they are diets that are low in fat, plant-based, contain absolutely no dairy foods whatsoever, which is why there's such a high prevalence of lactose intolerance in African Americans and other blacks, and contain very little animal flesh. And again, they were primarily built around grains, whole grains, and legumes and green vegetables. And even to this day, West Africans who eat a traditional diet eat that way. Now, unfortunately, you know, American companies have been very effective in trying to export the sort of fast food poisoning that they that's so prevalent in this country around the world. And the World Health Organization has sounded the alarm about the fact that as developing countries start to adopt Western ways, we're seeing not only higher prevalences of chronic diseases, but we're also seeing a massive increase in diet-related cancers. But again, when you look at populations who consume their traditional diets, they have very, very low prevalences, a prevalence of diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, cancer, and so forth.
It sounds like you're saying, though, that today's diet is a product of slavery in a way, right?
I was just about to get there that, you know, frequently what African Americans in particular eat is often termed soul food, but it really isn't soul food. It's actually plantation food because these are the things that we were forced to eat on the plantation. When, you know, the slaves were brought over here, they were literally fed the refuse and garbage of the plantation. They were fed the foods that essentially the white slave owners did not want. So instead of, you know, the so-called choice cuts of pork, they were given the entrails, the guts that contain the feces and so on. And these are, you know, otherwise known as chitterlings or chitlins. They were given the pig ears and the pig feet and the pig tails. You know, instead of the steaks and whatnot, they were given the tail of the cows and the heads and the brains and so forth. And, you know, granted, the slaves did the best they could to turn that, you know, refuse into something edible. But the sad and unfortunate thing is that once we were actually freed from the plantation, we didn't leave that plantation diet on the plantation, but we turned around and took it with us and tried and called it soul food, when in fact it's not soul food, it's plantation food, and it leads to not only excess levels of disease, but early death, and this is something I see every day. You mentioned that I work in Northern Virginia. I also work, one of the principal hospitals I work at is in Southeast Washington, D.C., and it's just shocking and depressing the levels of chronic disease and premature death I see in that hospital. I see African Americans coming in with end-stage kidney disease, strokes, heart disease, you know, in their 40s, and sometimes even as young as their 30s, which is, you know, 20 to 30 years before you would see it develop in the general population. And it's all due to a diet and lifestyle.
So it's like the remnants of slavery live on in the diet now, and people, you know, wind up in hospitals, immobilized, and not that there were really any good cuts of pork, or the steak wouldn't have been much better for them anyway, right?
So no, absolutely, because even, you know, the road to health doesn't lead through to through the big house. I mean, we need to leave all of this animal food-based diet alone and get back to what is our true heritage, and that is a plant-based, low-fat diet that is high in, you know, as I said, whole foods, whole grains, legumes, and green leafy vegetables, which will promote
Dr. Mills,
health.
We have to take a quick break here. Can you stay with me a couple more minutes? Just want to cover this a few more minutes with Dr. Milton Mills today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If you miss any of this, the program is archived at goveganradio.org.
Please make donations to this show to help make it a better world. Click donate at goveganradio.com.
Life as a vegan is so sweet, especially when you're enjoying Jacques' many selections of vegan organic fair trade chocolates. Look for Jacques in your natural foods market or visit Jacques' website, which you'll never find unless I spell it for you. That's S-J-A-A-K-S. S-J-A-A-K-S.com. Family-owned Jacques chocolate bars, gift boxes, and holiday treats. Nuts, fruits, mints, caramel. No animal ingredients, no bone char sugar. Visit Jacques' website, sjaaks.com. Jacques.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Listener supported. You're a listener. Support the program. We have to purchase the airtime every week so that we can bring you people like Dr. Milton Mills with, really, I mean, did you ever think about today's diet for African Americans being a remnant of slavery? How it might have come from back then, and then, well, now everybody's really, you know, I mean, it's basically critical condition for the health for people of color. And but there is a solution in looking back to the historical eating in Africa, which basically was vegan, right, Dr. Mills?
Well, I can't say that it was absolutely vegan, but it was largely plant-based. I mean, the evidence suggests there may have been small amounts of animal foods used on an infrequent basis, but it was almost it was largely a plant-based diet, and clearly that's the diet that promotes the greatest overall health for everyone. Mm-hmm.
And you, in your practice now, you see the catastrophe on a daily basis.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yes. And as I said, I encourage people to convert to a plant-based diet, because I've been able to essentially cure people of diabetes and get them off all their medicines and reverse the ravages of heart disease and hypertension if they were willing to make
the delicious choice. If they were willing to make the delicious decision, I mean, I think people would be amazed at how delicious the choice would be. And if they want to
And speaking of that, I just want to point out something that I tell people all the time, and that is, not one person asked for fried chicken, pork chops, or ice cream in the delivery room. when we were all born, we were all born completely without preferences. Everything that we believe that we like or need, we learned to like. And just like we learn to like unhealthy foods, we can learn to like things that are healthy and good for us. We don't have to be chained to these unhealthy dietary habits. And not only is it important for our own health, but if we have children, it's particularly important not to teach them dietary habits that we know are going to lead to chronic disease and premature death, when they're basically looking to us to learn the lessons of life that will help them have, the healthiest and longest life. Mm-hmm. So, even if we aren't willing to make the change for ourselves, we ought to do it for our children, because it's in my mind a form of cruelty to intentionally teach children dietary habits that we know are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. And those dietary habits include meat and dairy. And Dr. Mills, you co-authored a paper on the racial bias of U.S. dietary guidelines that appeared in the Journal of the National Medical Association. We have maybe a minute or so left. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the dietary guidelines are put out by the United States Department of Agriculture, and the USDA basically is a government agency designed to promote consumption of products produced by U.S. agribusiness. And they're not really set up to promote the best overall health of Americans. And so they continue to encourage Americans to eat dairy foods, for instance, that we know that the majority of Americans of color are intolerant of. 70% of African Americans are lactose intolerant. 95% of Asian Americans, 73% of Native Americans, and 53% of Hispanic Americans are intolerant of lactose, whereas the prevalence amongst the Caucasian population is down around 30 to 32%. But the reason the government encourages people to eat these foods is not because they're necessary, but so that dairy farmers will have a market for the stuff that they produce. Now, people might say, well, if you don't eat dairy, where are you going to get your calcium? And I would sell them from the same place the cow that whose milk you're drinking got hers. from green leafy vegetables. Calcium is widely distributed throughout a variety of different plant foods. You don't need dairy foods to get calcium. That is a myth that is promulgated by the dairy industry, and it's a ridiculous one. Because if a cow doesn't need dairy, but there's plenty of calcium in her milk, why on earth would people believe, other than being misinformed, that it's necessary to consume these foods in order to get the calcium? So, again, people are being misled, and dairy foods, again, have been shown by the China study to not only cause problems with lactose intolerance, but also to be very potent cancer promoters. And people might be a little shocked by that, but if you think about it, cow's milk is designed to take a 80-pound calf at birth and grow it into a 600-pound, bull or cow by its first birthday, which means that it is loaded with all kinds of growth enhancers and stimulants, which, when they're taken into our bodies, cause our cells to start to proliferate out of control, which we know otherwise as cancer. So again, these foods are not necessary and can also promote excess levels of disease.
And they're almost forced on us. They're forced on people in schools and prisons and every institution,
absolutely.
Because
the dietary guidelines, the school lunch program by law is required to provide lunches that are basically follow the U.S. dietary guidelines. And these dietary guidelines, again, are not set up to promote health, but instead are set up to promote a market for U.S. Agribusiness at the expense of the health of the American populace, and that's wrong. But I'll try to squeeze this in quickly. I've been in a discussion with a lawyer from Cornell Law School about the fact that this Supreme Court that we've had over the last several years, which, as we know, has a Republican and heavily business bent, has found that even though you can show that a government policy has a disparate impact, meaning that you can show that a particular policy of the government causes excess levels of disease in Americans of color, that is not felt to be discriminatory because it's its original purpose was not discrimination. So even though its effect is discriminatory, if the intent wasn't discriminatory, the Supreme Court says it's legal to do. So in other words, the USDA and all of the agribusiness can continue to intentionally cause Americans of color to develop excess levels of chronic disease, to die earlier, and there's no way that they can be held legally responsible for it. That's a very heinous finding and policy, but it is what the current Supreme Court says is legal, and it's disgraceful, it's disgusting, but it is what it is.
They're destroying our children, the environment, and all the poor innocent animals in the process. So we're just about out of time. Once again, fascinating time with you again, Dr. Milton Mills. And 10 seconds left. Was there anything you wanted to get to, like that we just didn't, or any contact information or anything?
I would just encourage people to go to the PCRM website for more information. That website is PCRM.org. And they can find all sorts of valuable information and links.
Great. Okay. Thanks again, Dr. Milton Mills.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Take care. Okay. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If you missed any of this fascinating discussion, the archives are at goveganradio.org.
Thanks again to Dr. Milton Mills for a very enlightening discussion. For events taking place around the San Francisco Bay Area, visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. It is sfvs.org. This coming Saturday, March 5th, a historic, massive rally to get West Hollywood to go fur-free. Please plan on attending. I will be there. there at Triangle Park this coming Saturday, noon to 2, Crescent Heights and Santa Monica Boulevard. For details, go to furfreeweho.com. Well, it's West Hollywood. Maybe it should be furfreeweha.com, but it's furfree, W-E-H-O.com. Please be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. On Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. For archives and podcasts and to make a donation to support the program, please visit goveganradio.org. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. And yes, the universe has decreed that broadcasting an earth-saving, life-saving vegan program this Sunday at 3 is more important than airing the sounds of a bunch of people bouncing a ball and throwing it through a hoop. So, no sports preemption this Sunday. It's back to reality radio, Go Vegan with Bob Linden, 3 p.m., It is Black History Month, and we explore the ancient dietary health secrets of Africa. And with slavery came a new way of eating that has led community health for people of color today to critical condition. You'll hear a very critical medical doctor, Milton Mills, talk about improving community health for people of color and how a U.S. Supreme Court decision stands in the way. Dr. Mills is a practicing physician in the D.C. area and has been associated with campaigns with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, addressing preventive care and special health needs for minorities. He's from Oakland and a graduate of the Stanford University School of Medicine. The racial bias of U.S. dietary guidelines this Sunday, 3 p.m. This weekend, Go Vegan with Bob Linden will make its debut in Portland, the vegan mecca, on Progressive Talk, KPOJ, AM 620. Tell your friends in the Northwest to listen Sundays at 9 a.m. Go Vegan with Bob Linden has itself been a vegan mecca for 10 years. Please help us keep going and growing. For 10 years, we've had to purchase airtime each and every week on behalf of Compassion for Animals, Improved Human Health, and Environmental Sustainability. This is the first mass media vegan animal rights program ever, the first major network vegan program having aired on Air America. And apparently, I was the only one paying Air America. Please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. Donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Contact Bob at goveganradio.com. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class vegan, organic, GMO-free cuisine in downtown San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street, vegetarianhouse.us. I think my wonderful attorney, Christine Garcia, accepted payment from me in the form of quinoa sushi from Vegetarian House. If I can only get Green 960 and KPOJ to accept vegan sushi. Broadcast also made possible by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas, 516 Barber Lane, in Palo Alto, 165 University Avenue. Well, thanks for support from Realtor Judith Brooks. If you're looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and 3 decades Bay Area real estate experience, contact Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854.